The Lord be with you. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Mark. On that day, as evening drew on, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us cross to the other side." Leaving the crowd, they took Jesus with them in the boat just as he was, and other boats were with him. A violent squall came up and waves were breaking over the boat, so it was already filling up. Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. They woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Quiet, be still." The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you terrified? Do you not yet have faith?" They were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this whom even the wind and the sea obey?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. Maybe my dad's watching online in Greenville, North Carolina with my sister and family, or they're probably most likely going to their parish like a vast majority of you, but all the fathers out there online, and dad, if you're out there, know that I love you. I had the grace of taking my dad out. It was like 2 weeks ago. I was in Greenville, North Carolina, and they have their places where they go out to eat. My mom and dad are 82, and they're living with my sister and her husband, who's a doctor out there, and they got their part of the house, and you know, it's beautiful when I get to drive that four-hour drive and go out and spend time with them. I try to do it once a month. So I was out, and we went out to eat, and sometimes one of the greatest acts of charity is to let someone do an act of charity for you, right? So I always try to pay for my parents' meal, you know, every now and then. But my dad insists on being dad. You know, he's like, "I got it," you know? And so the last meal we had was a little Mexican food out, so I went and snuck up there before I left and took care of it and put "I love you, Dad" on the receipt, and happy Father's Day. So I'm not there with them physically at this moment, but I'm with each one of you, you know, and it's so great being a priest, because the gospel's fulfilled when you leave mother, father, land, whatever, and you go serve wherever you are. You know, the church embraces you, and you get to, you never really feel like you're away from family. But a shout out to my dad, thanking him for his fatherhood and the example that he gave me. Also, I'd like to say a special thanks to all you fathers that are spiritual fathers. There's countless spiritual fathers out there through their counseling, through their mentoring, coaches and teachers, those who are in community. Oftentimes, there's even fathers within a neighborhood who truly become a father to other young people who do not have a father. And so thank you to all you fathers. And if we really reflect on the great gift of our faith, every day is Father's Day. Every day is Father's Day. And sometimes maybe they didn't have the best of an example of fatherhood in their life. Maybe there was an absence of fatherhood in our life. But God the Father so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son into the world, not to condemn it, but to redeem it, gave his Son to each one of us in his living word and in the Eucharist, because Jesus wanted to leave his heart with us, and he does that through the Eucharist, because he's God and we're not, and he wants to give his heart to us. And we could say, just show us the Father, and that's enough. Show me the Father. And Jesus says to Thomas at the Last Supper, "Thomas, you've been with me for how long, and you don't know? Anyone who sees me sees the Father." And so when each one of us are a reflection, each one of us are a reflection of Christ in our life, right? We can be those examples and reflections of the Father in our world. The reality is, when we speak about fatherhood, whether it's a spiritual fatherhood or a earthly fatherhood, you know, none of us are really going to ever really hit the mark. if we're honest about it. Yet Jesus said very clearly, he said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. What kind of perfection is he talking about? Because we can't always calm the seas or bring the peace in people's hearts or do whatever, but what kind of perfection is he talking about? He's talking about the perfection of love that he showed the whole world when he was crucified on that cross. When he said, Abba, Daddy, forgive them. They know not what they do. He made that cry for all humanity. He and the Father are one. When I was in high school, my freshman year in college at Belmont Abbey College, I went on one of those retreats. And usually in your freshman year, like when you go into sixth grade middle school or you go into ninth grade in high school, and you show up on the steps of college and we have some seniors that are graduating going off, there's excitement to graduation. And then all of a sudden, you're about ready to step on that campus and you're a freshman and you start searching, where do I fit in? Who am I? You start asking some of those deep questions. Well, I went on this retreat, one of those retreats where they kind of package up a packet. Brother Gregory, God bless his soul. He passed away due to brain cancer. He actually had brain cancer, Brother Gregory, on this retreat, one of the monks from Belmont Abbey. And you could tell he was suffering there, and he was there pouring out his life to us college students. What an example was to me of a spiritual father as a religious brother. And so at the end of the retreat, we received these packets, and it was out of the Outer Banks in North Carolina. And I went out back of the place we were, and I sat on the little sand dune, and it was just me there. And it was one of those major sob fests with all these letters from family members and friends just pouring out their heart to you. And one of the most beautiful letters was my first letter ever, ever from my father. You fathers, if you haven't had a chance to put pen to paper, especially if your young ones are away at school or maybe they're grown adults right now, put a pen to paper. It's powerful. My dad wrote me a letter and opened his heart to me and really told me how much I meant to him, told me how much he loved me. He opened scripture in passages that meant and guided his life. He shared with me the serenity prayer and said, when life gets tough, pray this prayer, son. Your mom and I still to this day have it in our bathroom. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I can't change, change the things I can, and the wisdom to tell the difference between the two. So scripture passes in the serenity prayer and the golden rule. All these things my dad shared with me about that were guiding principles in his life. You know, that letter I received in 1989, I have 2 3-ring binders this thick. I've saved every single letter, email that my father has sent me. He writes a beautiful one. From my time in the Army when I was overseas, to my time in the business world outside of New York City, to even the present moment, and they're treasures. But sometimes we can lose this idea of opening our heart and pouring out because so much activity can go on, so many things can happen in our life. And think of all the letter writing that was done during different moments many years ago that are now lost because they're somehow on an email or in a social media or in a text. Hopefully they're in our heart. But my dad touched my heart in that way with his letters. But you know what? If you've never received a letter from your father, you have a daily letter to open up, and the letter is the living word of God. The letter is, the word is, Jesus Christ who became flesh. The confirmation of God's love for you is to look at a crucifix and see that it's not the nails that kept him on the cross, but his love for you. The reality is, my brothers and sisters in Christ, we all go through storms, and we all need to cry out to a father. We need a reflection of our father in our life. There's a great artist, Rembrandt, who painted a painting back in 1633. It was an oil-based painting on canvas. This painting, painted in 1633, was in a museum up in Boston and was stolen in 1990. But we're still blessed to have images of that. And if you look at this image that Rembrandt holds out of the boat reflecting the gospel today, you can see the apostles in the boat being buffeted, being bounced around, as sometimes life can be, even those moments in our heart which nobody else sees, where the waves are crashing and we're trying to understand the meaning of life. And where is Jesus in this moment? Where is Jesus in the boat of our heart? Because you're here, and my Father taught me through his letters to invite Jesus into my boat, to welcome him as the apostles did. It said they took Jesus with them. We come here every Sunday desiring to encounter this Jesus, this Father who loves us, and to take him into our hearts, as St. John did at the foot of the cross, through his living word, to literally receive his heart into our heart through the Eucharist. It's truly Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And to let him come into those more challenging moments of our life and to carry him out to help to calm the seas of the lives of others, whether in our family or in our community or amongst our friends. And so in this painting, what you see is you see the apostles grappling amidst the waves. And where's Jesus? Jesus is in the stern of the boat. He's in the darkest part of the boat. Rembrandt painted him in the darkest part of the boat. He's at the base of the boat in the stern. When a boat's going to go down, the first place that it goes down is in the stern. He was in the most dangerous part of the boat. And so sometimes we can ask, where is Jesus? Where is Jesus in my life? Where is Jesus in the church right now? Jesus is closer to us than we know. Jesus comes to us. He meets us. He loves us, and he wants us to walk with him, to bring his good news out into the world. Jesus wants us to be that living reflection of his Father in this life. Do you have a definition of faith? When your boat is buffeted, when you find yourself in a moment like this, when you feel like either in your heart trying to put on the whole front that everything's okay, everything's fine, but deep down in your heart you find yourself in a darkness, and that can hit us in any stage, whether you're a young person or you're one of our seniors who is missing so very much your spouse you loved in this life, and you go back to your independent living and you're by yourself, and you're longing for that relationship, and you feel alone, and it may be a moment of darkness, Jesus is there. Jesus is there. And that's where, my brothers and sisters in Christ, he calls you and me through the living word of God today. He says, I know the storm may be there, but there's always calm after the storm. Let me calm first and foremost the storm in your heart. There's a storm in your heart, let Jesus calm it. If there's a storm in your family, let Jesus calm it. Bring him into that moment. You know, I had a moment yesterday with a mom who was really worried about something. It was beautiful. It was a wedding and all worried. And her husband was there and her son was there and the bride was there at the rehearsal, but all worried. And I didn't know what to do. I really didn't know what to do. And this isn't about me, but I didn't know what to do. So I'm like, come Holy Spirit, help me. And I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit among us. And to pray with a living, active, and luminous faith. Holy Spirit, come. Calm the seas of our heart. Bring the peace and the joy that only you can bring into our hearts. Calm the seas of our hearts. Bring that peace first and foremost into our hearts. Bring that peace first and foremost into our families. Lord, if it's not there, how can we even possibly bring that out to our world? To pray that way. If you feel there's a storm in your family or with your spouse, you're struggling maybe in your marriage, pray. Come together and pray. Open your hearts like my father did to me through a letter. Open them up. If you're a father out there and you have never told your son or daughter that you love them, please make that commitment today. You don't have to do it right after, but do it. I've run into countless people in our life, and one of the things that's so hard is their father never told them that they love them. And sometimes the fathers be like, well, I prove it. I go out and I work and I earn the money and I do that, and my dad never did it, so I don't do it, and that's kind of like not a manly thing. Let them know you love them. I was a high school chaplain and we had sports teams. And if we're really, really honest, one of the things challenging the United States of America, and we got to be real about it, we can't be afraid to touch it, and if we touch it, it could be by the like a bear, but it's the fatherless America. I have family members, and there's heroic women out there that are raising their children in a heroic way without dads. My own dad's aunt raised her family, 6 children. Her husband upped and left. She raised him through school, through college, paid for all their education. He came back with cancer, knocked on the door. She hadn't seen him for years. She's a saint. She passed as a saint, welcomed him into her home, and helped him die of cancer, loving him. Heroic women. There's many heroic women out there living in the single family life. I've got them in my own family. But there are so many people, young people, starving for examples of fatherhood. That's why the culture of sport is so important. So many of them turn to those coaches as their examples of fathers. We had a thing in the Catholic high school that I was in Atlanta, Georgia. And it was before the first games of the season, girls basketball, girls volleyball, guys football. It was jersey night with dad. It was where the coaches and the chaplains would get together and they'd talk. They wouldn't tell the dads in advance because some dads would not come because they were afraid to open their hearts publicly in front of an entire sport team. So the dads would come. We'd get them in a separate room. We'd put the other kids, all the athletes, in an auditorium. With a 3x5 card given to the dads, we'd say, we need you to write down 3 things for your boys. If it's your daughter, 4 things. Number one, and I challenge you dads to do it if you haven't did, no matter what age your son is or your daughter is. Number one, I love you. I love you for who you are and not what you do. I love you. Number two, I'm proud of you, period. I'm proud of you. Number three, I admire this virtue in you. You're patient. You're so helpful with your siblings. And if it's your daughter needs to hear from you. You are beautiful inside and out. You are beautiful inside and out. Sometimes I have the young teenage daughters or young ladies come to me, teenagers, and say, Father, I'm really kind of struggling this stage with my relationship with my dad. What can I do? And I say, let me give you a suggestion. It may not work, but let me give you a suggestion. Take that timer out of the kitchen, if you still have those. Set the timer for 5 minutes with your dad once a week. Get a cup of tea or whatever and turn to your dad and say, Dad, I just need you to listen to me. Just listen to me, Dad, for 5 minutes. Let me talk about my life. Let me tell you what's going on. Let me tell you about my struggles. Fathers, listen to your daughters. For the young men, what they need is they need dad either throw a ball, go out, something while driving. It used to drive me nuts when my dad would drive his car and never have the radio on. Turn on some music, Dad. And he goes, no, we talk to Jesus and I can talk to you. But that's when we had some of the best conversations. Or on a golf course. We got away from everything and we had that time. These are some practical applications, my brothers and sisters in Christ, where as fathers are doing that. You fathers are living that. All of us need to embrace a living, active, and luminous faith when the storms come. Do I have a definition of faith? I'll close with this for faith. It's my favorite definition in the catechism. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Faith is a filial, son-like or daughter-like adherence to God, holding on to God in the boat, beyond what we feel or understand. My brothers and sisters in Christ, this Mass, like never before, let's thank Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, for His presence in our life, for giving us His only begotten Son, and pouring out His Holy Spirit on each one of us and the whole church, so we can calm whatever seas in our heart, in our family, to bring that peace and that calm to our world. Amen.